Hey everybody, my name is Jared. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Jared.
I'll speak up so everybody can hear. It's been a little bit since I've told my story, probably since my last birthday. I'll just kind of go into, a brief history, talk about what happened, and what life's like today. So basically, I grew up in a pretty good family. Both my mom and dad, they're very loving parents. I always had everything I needed. We spent a lot of time together. We were a very close-knit family. Basically, what happened to me is from a young age, I can remember from being like a little kid in primary, just never understanding the God concept. I remember me and my buddy Scott, we're like sunbeams and we're skipping out on church. And our dads find us running down the road and, we get our asses beat because we're leaving church early. And, we had the option. It's either you get beat or you go back to church. And we both took the beating and then we went back to church. So from an early age, I just didn't really jive with God. I remember when I was 8 years old and it was time to be baptized. I didn't want to be baptized, but I didn't have a choice. And it was like that all the way through. Never really fit in. I had a lot of friends, but It's just you didn't feel like you fit. First time I ever had a drink, I was 15 years old. It was me and three of my buddies in the school field. And my friend Anthony had stolen his dad's bottle of Gold Rush. And, we were just taking turns pounding off that. And, got pretty tipsy. And that was my first experience drinking. I loved it. Didn't really do it a whole lot right after that. So when I was 16, I was in a baseball tournament down in California. And this was kind of like the turning point where I kind of went off and did my thing. So my dad was down there too. Like, he came home early, and I was probably down there five more days. And it turns out that while I was down playing in this tournament, he came back home, he stroked out, was in the ICU for a few days, and I didn't find out he was in the ICU until I returned home. That was a lot for me to take in at the time. I come from this loving family, allegedly, where we're very close, and I don't find out that my dad almost died until I get home. I was kind of lost at that point, didn't really know where I fit in, didn't really feel like I fit in my family, and that's kind of where my drinking career took off. At that point, I was drinking as often as I could, as much as I could. So 16, 17, just drinking, smoking weed. 18, 19, got into the harder stuff, loved it, still do to this day, and it really pisses me off when people speak poorly about alcohol and drugs because they saved my life for a long time. It was working for a really long time. When my buddies were going off on missions, I went on a different mission. My mission was to get as high as fucking possible. And, their missions lasted 2 years. Mine lasted about 14. I think I accomplished my mission. My drug of choice is more. It always has been that way. It doesn't matter what you put in front of me, I'm going to do it. I drink and use for the effect. I love the way it makes me feel. And today, when I stay sober, I stay sober for the effect because of the way I feel. So that's kind of like the blessing in disguise there. It's like I'm addicted to feelings, even though I hate feelings. So through my early 20s, I had the opportunity out of high school to have a baseball scholarship, to go play baseball, have my school paid for. I decided getting drunk and getting high was more important because it was. I did construction, that kind of thing, lived that lifestyle. And then, I never expected to live past 25. So when 25 came around, it was like, what do I do? It's like, I didn't expect to be at this point. I got to do something. So I got sober for a little bit, a few months. Did the LDS church thing. It worked for me for a little bit. And I was hanging out with a bunch of buddies that were drinking kava pretty frequently every night. And, you know, it had the same effect of alcohol on me. Like, as soon as I started drinking it, I wanted more. And it got to the point where it's like, you know, I actually have an allergy to kava. Like, I break out. I have hives. but that doesn't stop me from drinking kava. And so I did that for a little bit, and then I needed something more. I needed something quicker. I needed something better. A couple of my buddies were going down to a Utah football game, and they invited me to come. And I was like, sure, yeah, okay, as long as there's no alcohol involved. And so they picked me up. They have a half gallon of vodka and some orange juice, and screwdrivers were one of my favorite drinks. And I was like, you bastards. Needless to say, I was drunk by the time we got to the stadium. That night, I did any drug that was put in front of me, and it was off to the races at that point. Luckily, for that brief moment of sobriety that I had, I made some good decisions. I decided to go back to school. I wanted to get an education, so I was taking all the nursing prereqs. Somehow, over the next few years, I was able to pass classes and do well and, actually kind of move forward in life. Summer of 2008 is kind of when things fell apart for me. I was working three different jobs, going to school, and I was maintaining on the cocaine, the alcohol, the OCs, the painkillers, the heroin. You know, I could maintain with that stuff. But I needed something more at that point. And so I got back into crystal meth. And over the next probably 7-8 months of my life, I was on the point of losing everything that I had. I fell out of school that summer. I lost two of the three jobs that I had. None of my friends wanted me around. Which is understandable. Nobody likes the crazy person saying, you know, something's got to be different. You know, there's got to be another way to live. People don't like that when you're ruining their high. And so I isolated and I did my thing. And it's kind of ironic because the one job that I still did have is a job I shouldn't have got. I got a job up at Primary Children's Hospital in the OR. The day I took my drug test, I was high. Somehow passed. And, you know, the guy that got me involved in this program actually worked in the OR, and I was 12-stepped into this program. So over the few months that I was working there, like, he would tell me that there was another way, and I was like, oh, shit. You know, I've been talking about this for a couple years, and here it is. So we would talk about recovery a little bit, and he's like, when you're ready, you know, I'll show you another way. There's another way to live. And so every few weeks he would come up to me and he'd be like, hey, Jared, how is it out there? And I'd be like, fuck, man, it's so good. You know, life's good. I love drinking. I love partying. And I did for a really long time. But the truth is like at that point in my life, I was actively trying to overdose because I wanted out. I had multiple friends throughout my life that have committed suicide. And I couldn't do that to my family, just seeing what happened to their families after it had happened. So my solution was to overdose. I couldn't die, no matter how hard I tried. Kind of hit my bottom on my 29th birthday. It was November 11th. Two people called me that day. One was my mother, and one was an ex-girlfriend that was currently married. And, like, nobody else gave a shit about me. Which is understandable because I didn't give a shit about myself. But something happened that day to where I broke. I just couldn't do it anymore. And so, luckily, I was pretty close with my sister. And a few days later, I had a talk with her. And, I put it all out there. It's like, you know, I have a problem. I can't do this anymore. I need help. And so she passes me on to this fellow coworker. My sister worked at the same place, and she's actually the one that wanted me to meet this person because he was sober. And so, like, we get things in motion, and I have to go talk to management, tell them everything that's been going on. It's like, I'm a drug abuser. I work with anesthesiologists. I have access to drug boxes. So I have to sit down with management, and they're like, have you been using the drugs here at work? And, like, my thing was street drugs. I wasn't really into the other stuff, just because street drugs were more accessible, mostly. So I went through rehab, and, you know, I had the choice to either go into rehab the day before Thanksgiving or the day after Thanksgiving, and I chose to do the day after Thanksgiving because I honestly didn't believe that I was going to be alive the next year to be with my family. And, you know, my last high wasn't that bad. It was actually pretty good. I had a pretty good day. You know, I knew what was coming, but I had no idea what was coming. So I spent the next few days in detox, spent my 28 intense outpatient rehab at DaySpring, got introduced to the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, rehab is there to put you in a place, to introduce you to this place, so you can learn how to stay sober. You know, just part of my story is, like, I went to rehab with 15 to 20 people. I'm the only person from my rehab that's still sober. And that's just the honest truth about what this disease does to us. You know, our chances are slim to none. And, you know, it's cunning, baffling, and powerful for sure. And I've experienced that a lot this past year. You know, so I get out of rehab. I asked this guy to sponsor me from my work. You know, he was my sponsor before I ever knew what a sponsor was. And we went through the 12 steps. I'm kind of a slow learner. And so, like, we did one step a month for my first year of sobriety. And, you know, I have to have things explained to me very basically. So, like, first three steps, you know, you're powerless, your life's unmanageable. He explains this to me, you're fucked, basically. Step two, you know, came to believe that a power greater than yourself can restore you to sanity. Not only are you fucked, but you're crazy. And step three, you know, having to rely on a will or something greater than yourself to keep you sober, you know, there's an answer, but it sure as hell isn't you. And these are things that I could understand. Like, I didn't understand the steps when I first got here. I would pick and choose what I thought I wanted to do and what I didn't want to do. So we worked the steps, and, you know, I was pretty miserable for the first six, seven months. You know, I'm always baffled when I come into this place and I see people that are fucking happy at 30 and 60 days. It's like, I must have did something wrong, because I was fucking miserable. And, you know, somewhere between that 6 and 7 month mark, you know, things started to change. I started to be happy. And then you know, life started to get good. And I applied for a nursing program at IHC through the community college, and I got accepted. I had no intention of getting accepted into this program, and it scared the hell out of me because it was a four-year commitment. And they say not to make any major commitments in your first year of sobriety. And it's like, oh, shit, what do? I got 9 months sober, and I'm making a four-year commitment here. I basically had to be talked into going to nursing school. You know, it was very important for that first year to have a lot of fun and sobriety, to go out and do things that I thought I couldn't do. I'm pretty into bowling, and, you know, I associate drinking with bowling because that's what you do. That's what you do when you bowl. And early on in sobriety, like, we would go out and we would bowl a lot, and we would have fun without drinking. And, you know, that's very important. You got to have fun, and you have to enjoy what you're doing, or else you're not going to stick around here. That's as easy as it is. You know, so the next 2 years, you know, I'm in nursing school. I don't really have much of a social life. I'm working full-time. I'm going to school full-time. But I stayed connected to my program. I continued to work the steps with my sponsor. I continued to have service positions. I do have a home group. My home group is the Murray Group in Murray on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. And I can count on one hand in my first 3 years of sobriety how many times I missed that meeting. This thing is about consistency. You know, you have to be consistent. You have to show up even when you don't want to, when life's shitty. You know, because it's going to get good and it's going to get bad. And that's just the truth. You know, life still happens. Like, I've had friends die. I've had my sister, who couldn't get pregnant for many years, had twins. One of her twins died. And that was pretty tough on me because I work with pediatrics, so I work with children in the children's hospital, so I know everything that's going on. And, you know, it's tough to deal with, but the way that people from this, the fellowship, you know, the fellowship is huge. Like, the times that I'm so low and, you know, things aren't going well, the fellowship always steps up. Pretty much most of my best friends today are in this program. Some of them are in this room right now. And, you know, pretty much everybody I associate today is in recovery. And that's pretty cool. Because we're all doing things with our lives. We're all trying to make ourselves better. And, you know, my buddies that I used to use with, you know, they're still out there doing the same shit. You know, they're getting high, they're getting in fights, they're going to jail. I know because they call me when they want to get bailed out. And when they want their community service signed off, it's like, I can't sign your community service off. Like, if you want to come to a meeting, I'm happy to sign your little paper. But I can't do community service. So I graduated from nursing school, stayed sober somehow. And, you know, the past couple of years of my life have been really good. This year has been a roller coaster, like extreme highs and extreme lows. I never mentioned my sobriety date. My sobriety date is November 28th of 2008. So, God willing, I'll be 5 years sober this November. And, you know, this year has been pretty rocky for me. I did the relationship thing. It just so happens that the young lady that I was dating should probably be in these rooms. And, you know, it fucks with you. You know, there have been two times this year where I know people have been, like, legitimate worried about me going out and using again. And it wasn't like that the first few years of my sobriety. And, you know, I can completely understand why people go back out. And, you know, it's at those low points where you just have to throw yourself back in here and get back to the basics. You know, hit that step one again. So, you know, my life is unmanageable. I'm powerless over people, places, and things all the time. And my life spirals out of control when I try to take control again. And it's like, once I finally let go, it's like I don't know if any of you have watched that movie Contact, but you got Jodie Foster going through the little funnel thing, and she's strapped into this chair, and like everything's vibrating, everything's going around. And as soon as she unstraps from that seatbelt, it's just calm. And that's how I relate to my sobriety. It's like, is the longer I hold on to that steering wheel, as long as I'm strapped in with my seatbelt on, it's like my life is out of control. And it's like I try to control things, and it just doesn't work. And the moment that I let go, everything gets better. And I just went through an experience just recently where I've been working for this particular job for the past 6 years, and I finally got it. And I go over and, you know, I take a pretty significant pay cut. I'm working shitty hours. I'm working 50-50 nights, days, weekends. And, you know, I was there for 2 months and I'm dipping into my savings. So there's a financial aspect too, where it's like I go crazy when my finances are in disarray. And so, you know, my life was, I was in turmoil. I was about to get drunk. I was coming home every night or every morning and I wanted to get fucked up. You know, we as alcoholics, we know how to fix that temporarily. But you play that tape through and you find yourself back in the crack house, back in the meth house, back in jail, back in the institution. You know, it's not worth it. And just in the past 2 weeks since I quit that job and I went back to my old job, my life is fucking so much better. It's like I sleep at night. You know, I'm happy to wake up and go to work. you know, my relationships with my family and my friends is better. And like, those are things I didn't have when I was out there using. Nobody wanted me around. I was an asshole. I was a prick. I would steal from you. I would lie to you. It didn't matter what I had to do to get what I wanted. And you know, today, it's a little different. You know, I sponsor people. I have a sponsor. And my sponsor says this all the time. That keeps me right in the middle. And that's right where I need to be. But anyway, my 20 minutes is up. Thank you for letting me share.
Awesome.